Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, November 23rd. Today, we're talking to Colorado Sun business reporter Tamara Chung about how inflationary costs are impacting traditional food items at the Thanksgiving table. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our friends and sponsors at Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy can help you find ways to keep your home or business running smoothly while reducing energy use and saving you money. Find everyday tips for using less energy and simple ways to manage your energy budget at xcelenergy.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. In 1932, Franklin D. Roosevelt won his first of four presidential elections by pledging to try anything to combat the Great Depression. 7 years later, with the economic crisis lingering and World War II raging in Europe and Asia, the president took the advice of American merchants who asked him to move Thanksgiving forward a week and extend the Christmas shopping season. To that end, instead of the traditional last Thursday in November, Roosevelt declared November 23, 1939 as Thanksgiving. Roosevelt's proclamation inspired a blend of confusion, amusement, and anger. Many Americans accepted the idea as one worth trying, although college football teams complained about the holiday's impact on their schedules. Yet at the time, state executives also had the power to declare Thanksgiving's date, and Colorado Governor Ralph Carr selected November 30th instead of Roosevelt's choice. Under public pressure, however, Carr agreed to accommodate either Thanksgiving. Ultimately, 22 states followed the president's lead, while 23 stuck with tradition, and 3, Colorado, Mississippi, and Texas, celebrated both. The Denver Post observed, quote, "The American people have so much to be thankful for that they are justified in devoting 2 days to Thanksgiving this year. Just the fact that we have kept out of the European War, have no reason to become involved in it, and are so firmly determined to stay out is enough to justify a special Thanksgiving Day." Before we continue, a quick message from our sponsors at Kids Crossing. Kids Crossing believes all foster kids matter, including those who identify as LGBTQ+. If you can provide a stable, inclusive family environment built on love, acceptance, and respect, Kids Crossing will provide everything else you need, including training, in-home services, 24/7 support, and financial reimbursement. Learn more at kidscrossing.com. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation. I'm grateful to be here with you today and with the Colorado Sun's business reporter, Tamara Chung. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Carol.
First of all, wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving this week, and I hope that you get some well-deserved downtime. And along with that, you and I are going to talk about Thanksgiving meal inflation, particularly in Colorado, how that compares to the rest of the country. And, you know, as we know, Colorado's not the cheapest place to live. How is that impacting folks as they go out and shop for their Thanksgiving meals?
Yeah, so the American Farm Bureau and the Colorado Farm Bureau, they sort of team up every year, actually probably all the farm bureaus of every state, and they send out shoppers to find out, well, how much does a 12-item Thanksgiving menu cost? And this year, that cost is up about 20% from last year. So the cost for a 12-item Thanksgiving meal in America is $64.05 this year. That's about 20% more than last year. But of course, it's a little more expensive to live here in Colorado. So the price here is 4.8% more. So it's $67.14.
Wow. And, you know, a 20% jump across the U.S. and then a little bit more than that in Colorado, that's a significant amount of money for, I would think, for anything, and certainly for families who are trying to put together a nice family feast over the next few days. What is it in your reporting? Do they point to what some of those higher ticket items are this year?
Yeah, the funniest thing is that the largest increase in price is actually stuffing. And this is the, you know, the cube stuffing mix that you buy at the grocery store, a 14-ounce bag. So the price of box stuffing is up 69%, whereas, you know, whipped cream and frozen pie crust are up about 26%. So the thing here is, you know, U.S. consumer inflation is about, it's up 7.7%. So, you know, that's That's pretty little when you look at how much the Thanksgiving meal has gone up. But when you look at inflation, it's actually, you know, different things have inflated, other things have deflated. And in this case, food costs have been way up all year. And that's what a lot of consumers notice first when it comes to inflation.
Right. And, you know, I would not have guessed that stuffing, which, you know, certainly involves bread, dried bread cubes, would be the higher inflationary item. I would expect the dairy, I would expect the protein to be more expensive than, say, the bread-based product. Any economists out there talk about the kind of burden that this really does place on families? And there's another item also, eggs, that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, well, you know, food prices have just been going up. And if you think about it, so some of the fresh food, you know, that spoils faster. It's the dried foods that, you know, that can be on shelves for a long time. It looks like those are getting those price increases because, you know, grocery stores still need to, you know, sell their fresh foods faster before they expire and they can no longer sell them. So that's probably why the margins are lower on fresh vegetables. But, you know, that also means you may be getting a better deal. But the farm bureaus, they send out like secret shoppers or volunteer shoppers in October. And the prices were gathered before, you know, a lot of the Thanksgiving turkey sales. So hopefully if you have waited till now, your turkey will be cheaper, but please don't buy a frozen turkey. I don't know if it will thaw by Thanksgiving.
And if you do, don't throw it in the deep fryer on the driveway.
Yes.
Don't. So that's interesting. So if they're sending the shoppers out in October, it gives us a really great year over year comparison on those items, you know, as of a few weeks prior to Thanksgiving. Doesn't necessarily take into account sales that grocery stores might enact, you know, in the last week or two prior to the holiday. But still, it's a good year over year comparison and a significant jump. So even if stuff goes on sale, it still might be more than it was a year or two or three years ago. Yeah, thanks for breaking that down for us. And speaking of breaking, let's talk about eggs. What's going on with the cost of eggs being so high in Colorado right now?
Well, it's not just Colorado, but Colorado has other factors that are affecting the price of eggs. And, you know, I started looking into this because I've been covering inflation pretty much all year and have been told by many economists that, you know, inflation really is different for different families, you know, because if you're a vegetarian, you won't see the increase in meat prices. So I picked eggs to look at those prices. And while I knew this in the background, I didn't realize that avian flu, which is really deadly to chickens and poultry, that has really devastated Colorado's egg-laying chickens. 85% have been euthanized because of this contagious disease. So we've got that going. General inflation, food inflation, like we talked about with the Thanksgiving turkeys. But there's also another factor that's happening, and that in January 1st, there's a new law that goes into effect in the state. And that's to give hens more room, you know, and provide some cage-free roaming for them. So farmers do have 2 years to implement more spacious hen houses, but that's going to cost money as well. And so there's a theory, or some economists feel like, well, that could increase prices as well, which I guess happened in California when they enacted a similar law.
Interesting. And so the avian flu killing 85% of the egg-laying hens in Colorado, I really don't think that we've heard a lot about that, you know, up until now. And that affects other bird populations too.
Yes.
Wild bird populations. And what are folks saying about the genesis of that? And how do they treat that?
Well, unfortunately, there is not a good vaccine out there for bird flu. And it happens so fast that it can kill a bird within, you know, 24 to 48 hours. So Colorado was somewhat lucky that when there was a big outbreak in around 2015, none of Colorado's commercial farmers were impacted. But unfortunately, they were this year. So since March, nearly 5 million chickens have been euthanized. What's happening here is this virus is being spread, or is being blamed on being spread, by wild birds who may be migrating. So when they fly over Colorado, like in the spring, or fall, they can sort of shed this virus from the air, I guess. And any, you know, chicken below who happens to catch it will probably be dead within 2 days. And the problem with this is, you know, that this virus can spread and show up on, you know, clothing, like a hunter's clothing. And if a hunter picks up an infected wild bird that they just killed, that could spread it to their backyard farm hen house. And apparently that did happen recently.
I was going to ask you about, you know, this affects not only commercial producers, I'm sure, but yes, backyard and folks who take their eggs and whatnot to farmers markets and things like that. So very, very interesting. The bottom line is things are costing more right now. And that plays into everything from, you know, this week, really, probably through the rest of the December and the winter holidays. Thank you, Tamara, for, as always, giving us the explanation of these things from the economy and business lens. And I hope you have a great rest of your week and a great Thanksgiving. And thanks to everyone who helped produce today's podcast, including our production partners, Pirate Audio. Have a wonderful day out there, and I sincerely hope that you can join us for the next Daily Sun Up.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. The man who subdued the gunman in the deadly Club Q shooting said he is not a hero, just a dude. Richard Fierro, a 15-year Army veteran of 4 combat tours, said he was just doing what he was trained to do. At the Colorado Springs LGBTQ Club, with his wife, daughter, and friends, Fierro said he went into combat mode when the shooting started and needed to save his family. And he said that family Saturday night was everyone in the room. Speaking to reporters outside his home, Fierro said his daughter's boyfriend, Raymond Green Vance, was one of those killed. A rise in respiratory illness, especially cases of RSV, has Colorado's pediatric hospital capacity extremely stressed, with just a handful of pediatric ICU beds available. As of Monday, there have been 895 hospitalizations for RSV this season. Of those, 836 hospitalizations have been among children. State health officials estimate that 1 out of every 86 infants in Colorado under the age of 6 months has been hospitalized with RSV this fall. The state's epidemiologist said there have been 255 documented outbreaks of RSV at schools and childcare centers. It is hard to find a National Park Service warning that gained more traction than a recent call to stop licking toads. Too bad it was completely fabricated. The agency's Facebook post last month implored visitors to refrain from licking the large Sonoran desert toad, which secretes a psychoactive compound. That message was repeated across thousands of news outlets. However, a Colorado Sun open records request of all reports detailing any interactions between park visitors and the toads yielded 0 records. An agency official said the post was intended to convey, through humor, a general message of not messing with wildlife. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All 3 exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.